Welcome to another segment of the Agricultural Market Viewpoint. This is a podcast where we reflect on various themes influencing the agricultural economy here at home in South Africa and beyond our borders. Folks, today I want to talk about South Africa's agricultural possibilities to China. The theme was sparked by an article that was shared with me by a friend. It's a Bloomberg article that discusses China's efforts to diversify their agricultural imports. Their idea is to lessen their dependence on the US in anticipation of the trade friction that may come with the Trump administration. And what the article paints out is that China, in the recent past, has been increasing its agricultural imports from South and Central American countries. They seem to be doing well in this process, as we see that the imports from these regions have increased, while those that are from the Western nation, which includes primarily the US, have declined. For example, there is a chart in this article that shows this in an amazing way, whereby the imports from around about 2022 to 2024 in the Western nations, they've declined by around 12%. And we see this replacement done by the South and Central American. The Asian countries have also increased their agricultural exports to China. And we see that the likes of Russia and the Black Sea countries are among some that have also increased their agricultural exports to China. But of course, there is one region that has not seen much joy within the Chinese space, and that is the African continent. If you look at Africa's agricultural exports to China over that period, they remain pretty much flat. The only uptick that you really see in Africa is that pre-2018, there weren't really large volumes of agricultural products going to China, and you see them taking off on that period and continuing then steady all the way to today. Now, what is in people's mind is that with the new administration coming out in the US, they may repeat what they did in 2018. At the time, they put a whole range of import tariffs from goods coming from China and other countries. But in the Chinese case, China retaliated by putting tariffs also against some of the exporters to China and targeted mainly the farmers, the agricultural sector. And if you think about the US agricultural exporters to China, the significant ones that you really see when you're looking at the data is, of course, the soybean farmers, pork farmers, grain farmers, who are among some of those that were hurt at the time. We don't know what will happen this time around, but we do know that President Trump has spoken quite strongly towards China, saying, look, we'll put import tariffs and a whole range of things against China. And of course, he has his demands about what he needs from China. So in that space of uncertainty, then what we can do, we can speculate that if the US does proceed and put tariffs against goods from China, then China may retaliate. If they retaliate in the same way as they did in 2018 and targeted the farm products, of course, then that will hurt the US farmers. But at the same time, it places China in a place where they already have some sources of saying where they can get the products from, and that's South America. But I think sitting in South Africa, we have to look into this and say, what is happening in the world and how do we position ourselves well without, of course, souring the relationship with the US? But I do think that we have to think about the ways of expanding our agricultural exports to China. And I sometimes wonder if South Africans have a deeper appreciation of how big the Chinese market is in agriculture. I mean, they are dominant in exports and imports of agricultural products. Think 2023. If you were to look at the agricultural import bill of the world at the time, China accounted for 11% of that. They spent around $218 billion buying agricultural products from across the world. And of course, the other major markets are the US, Germany, Netherlands, UK, France, Japan. Those are the countries that come after. But the point is that China is significant and it is a leading importer of agricultural products. In terms of exports, they are also big, the fifth largest. And of course, the leading is the US. Brazil, the Netherlands, and Germany, which again puts us then into this position of thinking about how dominant the US is on agricultural exports and how dominant China is on agricultural imports. The African countries don't feature much in all of this conversation, and part of it is the fact that we have low agricultural productivity as a continent. We don't really have much volume to put into the export markets. Few countries do this well. Of course, South Africa is one of those that exports about half of what we produce, but thinking from a continent perspective, our task is still to work to improve agricultural productivity. That needs applying better seeds, more fertilizers, better genetics on animals, moving towards to large-scale farming entities, building the infrastructure that is necessary for us to improve agriculture, and making sure that there's strong property rights tenure to support the farmers, and those are all things that Africa needs to do. But looking into this Chinese perspective now, the African continent won't benefit on that. If you look at who are the major suppliers of agricultural products to China, you find that it's Brazil, of course, because of that, as I explained now, that shift in trade. But you also found the US, Thailand, Australia, New Zealand, Indonesia, Canada, Vietnam, France, Russia, Argentina, Chile, Ukraine, the Netherlands, and Malaysia. That speaks to that shift of the certain Central American, South American countries, and of course the Asian countries also participating, but the US still pretty much very dominant in that market. So the African countries doesn't feature, but if you look into Africa and say within the Chinese top 30 agricultural suppliers, who's there? You'll find that it's South Africa. But even South Africa is ranked quite low at about 28 in that top 30. And the South African agricultural products to China are negligible in their import bill, only making up about 0.4%. That is just under $1 billion, because they spend about $218 billion importing agricultural products. The other countries that you do see popping out there, but of course ranked 33 and 34, is Sudan and Zimbabwe, because of all of the fruits, tea, tobacco and certain products that these countries are beginning to send there. But I think, of course, Kenya over time will also show up because of the avocados and the other products. But the reality is that China is now in the market, as the Bloomberg article say, trying to diversify their agricultural suppliers. And I think South Africa must get into the conversation on that. We already started as a country to have a conversation with China when the South African authorities were there last year for the state visit, and a whole range of MOUs were signed. But I think if you talk to the South African private sector, the message that you get is that there are higher import tariffs on products in China and the phytosanitary barriers. And I think in South Africa, the authorities in this country, when they engage with the Chinese leadership, needs to deal with those particular points. Because South Africa does have products to put to China. I mean, we export about half of what we produce. In 2023, that was just over $13 billion. So, and we expect more products from our farms as a country, which I think we'll be able to export to China. The products that we already send to China include variety of fruits, wines, red meat, nuts, maize, soybean, wool. But the point is, there are still tariffs that minimizes the participation in China, and we need to come up with a more ambitious way of engaging with China. And I think the people that must lead that conversation in South Africa, the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition, the Department of International Relations, and of course the Department of Agriculture, providing the science behind that and nudging everyone to prioritize the sector when they are engaging with the Chinese authorities and thinking about deepening trade. Because the South African agricultural sector has a scope to actually expand and produce more. And if we are to produce more, we have to have a place at which we can sell these products to. And I think China is one of those markets. I mean, if you listen to us talking about the BRICS agricultural exports, the primary message that we have been putting out as BRICS is the story of saying, hey, let's widen our agricultural exports to BRICS. targeting primarily India, China, and of course, Saudi Arabia. But China is exciting for these reasons that I've just explained. And of course, India, a very exciting market that is big, growing. Saudi Arabia, a lot of money that is there. So it's an exciting market. And there's also likes of Egypt and the others that we are looking at. But I think with the Chinese, we need a stronger relationship in the context of them also being out there in the market looking for products. But as South Africa looks for these countries and thinks about deepening the agricultural product, this is by no means at the expense of existing markets. There is always a temptation of saying, oh no, let's focus on China and leave everybody out. We can't leave everybody out because some of the countries that we export to in Africa, in Europe, and elsewhere in the world play an important role in South Africa. So the story about China is primarily for diversifying our agricultural exports, not replacing the countries that we already do trade with. And I think that's the message that we should have. And of course, doing it in a current environment of sensitive geopolitics with a certain level of care. But I think China should be on our radar. It's in a big, important market, and it has some hindrances that limit our participation. And we have to ensure that we address those as South Africa. Now, folks, before I close this segment of today, the one thing I wanted to also emphasize or announce is that I have a Substack newsletter. I write almost daily. Can you believe it? And you can subscribe to it for free by just going to your Google, type wandile.substack, and you will see the link to my Substack newsletter and subscribe to there. You get it almost daily for free. And you can follow us on socials. My name, Wandile Sihlobo. Follow the podcast, Mkokeli Podcast, and of course our publisher, the Mail, the Financial Mail. And you can follow also the producers of this podcast, Richard Humphrey, Sam Kokeli, Nelisiwe Chabalala, and Amanda Murimba, who helps a great deal on making sure that all of this reaches all of you folks, and hopefully in a good way. Thank you so very much for listening.